He's still a good deer. Yes. Very good.
Well, a few quick announcements this morning. First of all, good to see you all here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. And just pray that you feel the presence of the Lord today. A few quick announcements. You have your bulletin. And today is Family Sunday. And so we have potluck after service today, and you're all invited to stay for that, whether you brought any food or not. That doesn't matter. We just want to fellowship, so please stay and fellowship with us. Also, ladies' Bible study. This is the last Sunday to sign up for ladies' Bible study, right? Yeah. Starts next Sunday night. And there's a sign-up sheet in the Resource Center room there. You can sign up and see the book that they're doing. Doing another Beth Moore Bible study on James, Mercy Triumphs. Okay. Also, Food for Life, our food shelf. We are going to be doing Thanksgiving meals again this year, so take a look at that and see what you can donate and see what you can bring in. We bought some frozen pumpkin pies last night. We're on deal at the store, and they're still managing to still be in the freezer as opposed to being baked and eaten at my house. But, yes, it's coming along. Take a look at everything that's happening in the month of November in your bulletin there. And let's see, Family Promise is coming up again for us the first week of December. And so there will be a sign-up sheet, sign-up stuff coming up for that pretty soon. Also, just to remind you, our Thanksgiving Eve service, Thanksgiving's coming up. Can you believe it? Yeah. This will be our sixth annual community Thanksgiving Eve service. With New Life Church, Hope Fellowship, Northgate, and St. Catherine Drexel. And this year we're meeting at Hope Fellowship down the road over there at 7 o'clock. So come for that combined service. That's going to be good there. Amen? Amen. Okay, we'd like to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you this morning in our giving. Lord, you are our provider. We declare that. And when we place this in the plate, what we are saying this morning is that we trust in you and we have faith in you, Father, to continue to press forward. So we give you thanks. Lord, even in the midst of this turbulent economy, we know, Father, that you are not hindered by the economy. And we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Consuming fire, burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom, and we will keep our eyes on you.
can turn on the handheld for me. I have a testimony I want to share this morning. If we could have Deb Barnes come up, and I'll find the microphone here. Maybe I'll find the microphone. Wow. You're not getting old.
Okay. Anyway, so she went to church last Sunday night and said, "Lord, I really need this. I'm standing on your promises." So the church as a whole contended for this to happen. And Monday afternoon, about 3:30, Lee got a call from the Social Security office that his appeal had been granted. And so we're going. That's just, you know. They called. She didn't get a letter. They called, which is not something that happens normally. Normally, you get a form letter, and then it's 60 to 90 days before you get your funds. Okay, online.
Acts of the Apostles. We're continuing this series, and can't seem to get out of the beginning of Acts chapter 2, but that's what it is. The Acts of the Apostles, I'm calling it Believers in Action, because that's really what it is. God is not doing anything different today than he did when he birthed the church. Yes. Do we have a children's sermon today? All right. Well, come on up. Yeah. I don't get any candy. I missed the memo, I guess. So if we could have our children come on up, we'll wait on the other thing.
I like to push. I'm so excited to get to talk. Where's the boys?
You're okay.
We have no boys. Not voice. Where's the boys? Not a one? Oh, yeah, we got a big kid. Yay. Oh, you want candy. I see how we work around this church. You know, I actually was like praying about, Lord, what is it you want these guys to learn about you? Because we, you know, we're the big people. And I had this feeling that sometimes you guys think that maybe God's for the big people and not so much for you guys. Oh, you're different than everybody else. That's good, Josie. So did you hear that song we were saying today, the very last one, that says to be like a child in awe of God? I really like that because that kind of goes with my message for today. God does things like that. So I was thinking, Lord, what is it that you guys have that we don't have? Because there are things in the Bible that kids have that big people don't have. Because God wants you to know that it's not just for us. It's for you guys. So Jesus is doing his thing around town, healing people, casting out demons, raising the dead, teaching the word of God. And you know who his disciples are, right? Somebody tell me, who are they? So if we looked at it today, would they be like Jesus's homeboys or posses? Right? They're his homeboys. They're his buddies. They're hanging out with him. They think they got something here, you know? We're like one-on-one with him. And parents were bringing their kids to Jesus. They wanted their children to be blessed and for Jesus to touch them. And you know what them disciples said? Oh, no, parents. Mm-mm. Not the kids. They rebuked them. And this is what the scripture says. But then Jesus called the little children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Do you guys know what you have that we don't have? It's called faith that doesn't waver. If your mom tells you tomorrow's Monday, you got to go to school, do you believe her? Yeah. Why do you believe her? Oh, because you know your schedule and you know your mom, right? She's a smart one, this one. So you know, because you know your mom and dad, you know they're not going to lie to you, right? If they tell you the sky's blue, you go, yep, the sky's blue, right? So if Jesus says, that's belief, you guys just believe. And so what I want to do is take that belief, and what can you do with that belief in faith? Do you know what Jesus did with it? What does faith do? It does help you believe. And do you know what you can do with that faith? You can believe in Jesus, but you can also believe for healing, and you guys can lay hands on people, and they will be well. Did you know that? It's not just for us big people. Because see, us big people, we say we believe, and we really, really, really want to believe. But sometimes the world kind of crowds out our belief. You guys just believe. A lot of times the church will say you have to have faith like a child. Trust me, I searched. That exact words are not in here. Because I looked for days trying to go, well, where is that scripture? It's not a scripture. It's just something we say. Because of that kind of faith, you guys can move mountains. You guys can heal the sick. So I just want to encourage you guys to not think that when there's prayer time up here and the big people are all coming, if God says you go pray for them, then you come up and pray for them, because nobody in this church is going to stop you. Amen? Okay, that's my message for the day. You guys walk out this book and just keep believing. Amen? All right, you can all have candy. You can have two. Yes, you can have candy, although you didn't answer any questions. I figure the more you guys eat, the less I have to take home. There you go.
For my homegirl.
Oh, she's got handfuls. Sorry, Mom.
Oh, yeah, now you pull it away.
Oh.
Oh, baby Ruth.
You know, I kind of felt bad. I thought, like, you know, how many rounds on the treadmill does he have to go to eat one baby Ruth? I'm sabotaging this guy. Sorry. You could have said no.
No, you're not. Well, let's try this again. Reboot. Acts of the Apostles. Believers in action. Believers in action. The key to this, the key to the whole book of Acts is the person, the work, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts is about. And it's the story of the continuation of Jesus' ministry through his followers by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's an important thing to grasp. It's the continuation of Jesus' ministry through his followers by the Holy Spirit, and that has not stopped. Nothing has changed there. It's the model for us, for the church, as we continue the ministry that he gave us, this ministry of reconciliation and this ministry of revealing the Father and the kingdom of heaven. Now, the church was established on this day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, this emphasizes the necessity of the Holy Spirit for the church to be the church. The church cannot be the church without the Holy Spirit. That was the day that the church was birthed. Jesus said to his followers, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, when the Holy Spirit is poured out. And when that happened, Peter gave his first sermon and 3,000 were saved. It was the beginning of the church, and the church still needs the Holy Spirit today. So, some of our scriptures this morning. Forgot to advance, sorry about that. And now my clicker stopped working. There we go. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And then what we're going to be looking at today, Acts 19:6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul says, I would like for you all to speak in tongues. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, speaking in tongues. I want to review just a little bit what we talked about last week when we looked at the purpose of speaking in tongues. I'm not saying that what I have here is a all-inclusive list, but it's what I came up with at this point in time. So anyway, purpose of speaking in tongues, number one, it's an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Another one, it's a means of edification of an individual in your prayer life. When you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, you're building up your inner man, you're building up your spirit man. It keeps us continually aware of the presence of God and the Spirit's indwelling. Because when you're praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, you're aware of God's presence. It eliminates selfishness in our prayer lives, because when we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying the will of God. We may not know what we're saying, but it is the Holy Spirit interceding for us, and so we will not be selfish in our prayers. It helps us to learn to trust God more fully, because it takes faith to speak in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, it builds your faith for other things that God has for you. It provides a way for you to pray concerning that which you are not aware. Okay? There are things that go on that you're not aware that God wants you to be praying for, and the Holy Spirit intercedes, and you can be praying for those things. And lastly, yielding your tongue is a big step toward yielding your entire being to God. Okay, so I want to start off this morning just looking at a few things that, to me, have been some erroneous teachings on speaking in tongues. We're just going to take a look at that to kind of set the stage. First of all, there's the thought that tongues disappeared when the Bible was canonized. Now, Bible canonized doesn't mean it was shot out of canon, okay? The word canonized means is just when they determined what would be in the canon of Scripture, or what was authentic God-inspired Scripture, okay? And the verse used to prove this is 1 Corinthians 13:10, which says, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So, the thought being here that tongues is partial and the perfect has come, and so we don't need tongues anymore, and what is put up as the perfect is the Bible, okay? The canonization of Scripture. Now, I will agree with you, this is a pretty darn good thing. But the perfect thing is Jesus. He's the perfect. The Scripture also says, if you read it further, that knowledge is going to disappear when the perfect comes. Let's look at this a little deeper there. Do I have it up there? I don't think I do. 1 Corinthians 13:8, starting at 8, says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For what we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. I don't think knowledge has left the planet, even though sometimes I wonder about it. Especially... No. I'm not going to go there. I don't think knowledge has left the planet. Paul goes on to describe what it will be like when the perfect comes in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. When we see Jesus face to face, when his second coming, when he comes to take his church, and we see him face to face, the perfect will be here, and then there will be no need. The Bible is not the face-to-face encounter that Paul was referring to. So baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues are still for today. Another, that tongues is a lesser gift and to be despised. I'm not sure where this one came from, but God does not give gifts that are worthy of disdain. He gives only good gifts. Matthew 7, 9 through 12. Which of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Another one is that love is better than tongues. Comes out of 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is probably true. Faith and hope, love, faith, and hope remain, right? Love is probably better than tongues, but where does the Bible say I can only have one of them? It doesn't say that. Can I have both? Another. Tongues is not for everyone, 1 Corinthians 12:30. All do not speak in tongues, do they? However, two chapters later, Paul says that everyone speaks in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:26. What's the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, each has a teaching, each has a revelation, has a tongue, and has an interpretation. Now, if your translation of the Bible puts an or in there, each one has a psalm or a teaching or a revelation or a tongue, I want to tell you, it's mistaken. For in the Greek language, there is no. There is no. The NIV puts an or in there. That's a mistranslation. So we don't have a verse saying that we don't all speak, we have a verse saying that we don't all speak in tongues and a verse saying we do all speak in tongues. So basically, we can all speak in tongues in our personal prayer lives, but not everyone speaks in tongues in the context of a corporate worship service. When that's done, it should be interpreted for all can benefit. Another erroneous teaching is that you don't have to speak in tongues. No, you don't have to. You get to. Let's look at it a little differently. Another one. Tongues is disorderly and would confuse the non-believers who attend services with tongues speaking in them. Well, guess what? The fastest growing segment of the church today is that part which allows for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in their services. Approximately one-third of today's Christians are seeking the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And those who are hungering for spiritual reality and spirit encounter in the Western world have not found it in traditional churches. And many of them have gone on to the New Age in their quest for a spiritual encounter. Mark Verkler, who is a teacher that's had a lot of influence on me, says this in his quest for the Holy Spirit. He says, one day when I was complaining to God that a service I was attending seemed to be very disorderly, he spoke back to my heart and asked me, how does one get drunk decently and in order? You know, I never asked myself that question. Obviously, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, it appeared to the natural mind to be so disorderly that they were believed to be drunk, but in God's eyes, it was fine. Perhaps I needed God's perspective on these things, not mine. Just to change your paradigm there a little bit. Another one, teaching that you already received the Holy Spirit at salvation, and that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does indwell us at salvation, and the Bible teaches that in addition to this initial experience, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In Acts 1:5 and verse 8, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So, now I just want to give you a few convictions. First of all, God wants you to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:5, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. It's a desire of God that you would speak in tongues. We know that when we ask for the Spirit of God, he will not give us a serpent, but give that which we ask for. Luke 11:9 through 13. says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? A fish here can refer to the work of our hands, and a serpent here can refer to counterfeit or something of the devil. You ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a counterfeit. He's going to give you the real deal. We know that when we ask anything of him according to his will, he hears us, and we have what we've asked of him. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. When we ask anything according to his will, and we saw earlier that he desires that we would all speak in tongues, it's his will. Therefore, if we ask him, he will give it. Another conviction. There's a part that God plays and a part that we play. When Peter walked on the water, Jesus said to him, come. And he kept Peter's feet afloat, but it was Peter who did the walking. Matthew 14:25-31. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to him walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Oh, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Peter had to get out of the boat by faith. He couldn't walk on the water until he got on the water. And when he began to doubt, he sank. Without faith, you're sunk. So in the miracle of speaking in tongues, God plays a part and you play a part. The two parts are recorded in Acts 2, Acts chapter 2. It says, they spoke and the Spirit gave them utterance. The part we play is being willing to speak while choosing not to speak in English. Instead, let the Spirit in you form the syllables. You choose to articulate sounds, but not to consciously form the syllables, leaving that for the Holy Spirit. What may sound like gibberish to your brain, your heart can use to believe. Yielding your faith to God so he can speak through you in tongues. First of all, the principle of faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This tells me that it is impossible to please God unless I choose to believe that he is, and that he will reward me. So that which gives God pleasure is our choosing to believe in him. God gets pleasure from our faith. Choosing to believe that he loves us, choosing to believe that he guides us, choosing to believe that he delivers us and protects us and interacts with us. The principle of faith is critical. We can choose to believe. Secondly, the principle of flow. John 7:38-39, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus defines the Holy Spirit within us as a river that we experience as flow. We need to honor the flow that is within us. And flow is how we experience the river of God within us. When you speak in tongues, you speak, but you don't consciously form the syllables. You tune to the flow and speak according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit flowing within you. I'm convinced that when I speak in tongues, it is the flow and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning, before service, I'm in my office praying, and I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying in tongues, and because we're preaching on this today, I was somewhat conscious of what was going on. And I begin to realize that as every time my mind would try to listen to what was coming out of my mouth and make sense of it, I could feel it diminish. But if I kept my mind occupied with a vision of Jesus and didn't try to analyze what was coming out of my mouth, it just kept flowing. Because your mind will shut it off. Because it sounds really strange. So we need to be convinced that when we're praying in the Spirit, it's the flow and direction of the Holy Spirit. So now to combine these, the faith in flow principle. The gift of the Holy Spirit operates through the one who in faith yields his being to the control of the river of God within him. That river of life that bubbles up from inside. Now this is interesting. There's been scientific studies on speaking in tongues. Did you know that? Speaking in tongues activates the right side of the brain as opposed to the left, not the correct one, just that was a joke. You can laugh or groan there if you want. Speaking in tongues activates the right brain, which is the same area that holds creativity and vision and intuition. And music resides in there. Now, this is good. Scientifically, it has been determined that speaking in tongues builds the immune system. How about that? First Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. So we request this as a gift from God. Remember, we do a part and God does a part. When Peter walked on the water, he had to cooperate with the supernatural power of God by getting up and stepping over the side of the boat, providing an opportunity for the miracle to happen. So we yield control of our speech to our spirit while we continue to supply a place for the miracle to fill. Speaking in tongues, probably the thing that has generated the most controversy in the church. And remember what we talked about several weeks ago about unity in the Spirit. You cannot be the church without the Holy Spirit, so why not? Why not? What a perfect place for Satan to bring division, because it is the power that the church needs. So I desire that you all speak in tongues. Now, as I've told you before, I don't believe that speaking in tongues is the only evidence of baptism in the Holy Spirit. I will not tell you that if you don't speak in tongues, that does not mean that you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I do firmly believe what Paul says, which is, I wish you would all speak in tongues. There is advantage to it. There is a blessing to it. There is something that really strengthens you and builds you up when you're able to pray in the Spirit. And it's a blessing from God. And so I desire that you would all speak in tongues. But please understand that if you don't, it doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. Right? But I pray that you do this morning. So what we want to do is, if you want to speak in tongues, I want you to come up to the front this morning. If you do not speak in tongues and would like that gift, just come on up. And we're going to take a few moments with this. And Allie, if you could put on CD number 1 back there, quietly, so we just have some music. You do not speak in tongues and would like that gift, or if you just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come on up. We're going to deal with that. We're also then going to pray for you to just be filled with the Spirit if you want. Now, what I'd like to do is invite any of you who actively and regularly speak in tongues to just come up behind these. these folks if you'd like, and just be there to intercede as we progress here this morning. You just worship the Lord. Open your mouth and just worship the Lord in English. Just worship Him. Let the words come out of your mouth. See, part of this is we need to get used to our voice. Because often when we worship the Lord in a corporate environment, our voices are melding with others, and we're not used to hearing our voice. So it seems kind of strange sometimes when you're kind of by yourself and hearing your voice. I want you to just open your mouth and just begin to worship the Lord in English. Just thank Him. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Father, we thank You this morning. You are a good God. You are a worthy God. We worship You this morning. We praise You this morning, God. There is no one greater than You, Father. There is no God greater than You. We thank You for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy, Father. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank You, Jesus, for Your blood. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice that You gave us to bring us back into the lap and the heart of the Father. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy, Father. Thank You, Lord. I want you to repeat after me. I honor the flow of the Holy Spirit within me, and I will tune to the flow, and I choose to speak from this flow. Now repeat this verse. This is from 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence which I have before Him, that if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. And if I know that He hears me in whatever I ask, I know that I have the requests which I have asked of Him. Thank You, Father. I'm just going to lay hands on you. Say, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe in faith that You've received. Receive the Holy Spirit. Believe in faith that You receive. Receive the Holy Spirit and believe in faith. Receive the Holy Spirit.
Whoa!
Believe in faith. Receive the Holy Spirit and believe in faith. Now just continue to worship the Lord in English. Worship the Lord and thank. Now while you're doing that, what I want you to do is to switch to the flow of the Spirit. Don't consciously form the syllables. Fix your heart on Jesus, your mind on Jesus, and tune in to the river within. Don't let your mind analyze what's going on. Thank You, Father. Go ahead. You got to speak. You got to step out of the boat. Got to step out of the boat. Let it come. Let it come. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We got one right here. No! Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Okay, stop praying out of your mind right now. Just fix your mind on Jesus and let it flow from within your spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Shokarabasika. Yes, yeah, more. 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 Yeah. It's like taking your first baby steps. It's not going to come out perfect necessarily. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
Whoa!
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Keep going. Keep going, Krista. There we go.
Yeah.
Korashi baronda si matoroko shalabatisa. Iba roka sika. Ika roba kasiba koroko lomoko saranda shika. Shika robo kosaka bakashi. Shika robo kosaka. Thank you, Father. Keep going, keep going. You got it. You got it. Keep going. Keep going. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep going. Keep going. Thank you, Father. Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. There we go. We got three up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Ora mashibaro so koroko shibara. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Tune into the flow. Just shut your mind off. Shut your mind off. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I invite everyone to just stand right now. Just stand up and let's just give the Lord a praise this morning. Let's give the Lord a praise. We thank you, God. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I didn't miss anybody up here, did I? If you just want a filling, just be filled this morning, come on up, and we're just going to lay hands on you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what that is a tense, that means to keep being filled. Keep being filled. We especially want to invite the children this morning. Is they're here this morning to come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, yeah. Who? Thank you, Father. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More. More. More, Lord. More. More. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Just fill us. We take a big drink from your Spirit this morning. A big drink, a refreshing drink from your Spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just fill us fresh today. Fill us fresh today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. More, Lord. More, Lord. More of your Spirit. More of your presence. More, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Whoa. Whoa. More. Whoa. Yes, Lord. Give her more. Give her more. More of your Spirit. More of your Spirit. More of your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. More of your presence. More of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We honor you this morning, Lord. We honor you. We honor your presence. We honor your Spirit, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. More, Lord. More of your Spirit. More of your power. More of your presence. A fresh anointing this morning, Lord. Fresh anointing this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father. More, Lord. More, God. More, Lord. More, more of your Spirit. More of your power. More, Lord. Thank you, God. You're worthy, Lord. Yorashi karabako soko rondo moshambata. Ibarasi karabakosha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to just close the service. You're free to go. Those of you that are up here at the altar, you can stay. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep laying hands on you.
keep filling you. Please stay for the potluck. Just go back to the fellowship hall and join us for fellowship today. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.